Yeah.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Good, busy, but the year is over, and so I'm actually off for a week, which I'm really excited about. But now I'm looking at it, and like, you look like you're like a healthy, normal human color, and I look like I'm Data from Star Trek: The Next Generation. But with
you look like you're coming out to the Undertaker's entrance theme, but are sickly and like 70 years old. More like you look more like his manager than Undertaker. Well,
so the thing about, I don't know why we had to start with Undertaker, but Paul Bearer, like, kids today don't know anything about Paul Bearer. Do you know what I mean? Like, they don't have
that's
any
true.
Kids these days, because he passed away like what, 15 years ago?
No, it was I think it was like 4 years ago, but in 2020 time, yeah, you're right.
All time before March is fake. Do you so you and I like a lot of the same like hip hop music from back in the day. Were you an MF Doom fan at all?
Incredibly, yeah.
Did you hear the bad news though?
I saw it from you a few minutes ago, and I was really bummed out.
Yeah, MF Doom, one of the just most bananas rappers ever to exist, passed away in October, and just had to get one last shot in 2020. Yeah.
In WWE, they call this the groin shot.
I didn't know who was the Lee Huber. Was he the guy that passed away? The wrestling guy?
Yeah, he was Brody Lee in AEW and Luke Harper in WWE, and he died of a lung issue. It's not completely clear what that was, but it wasn't COVID related. So that was even in a weird way. It feels even worse.
Yeah.
And it just came out of nowhere because he's 41 and he had finally, you know, he struggled to really be a single star in WWE. You know, a lot of it's always Vince McMahon, and he was finally having some real success in AEW as a person that was a top billing guy. And of course, you know, then that tragedy happened. So it's just, yeah, that was a really sad thing that happened this last weekend. So,
well, let's talk about brighter news. So I have been almost entirely ignorant about what's happening in hockey. All I can do is get in like two or three sarcastic tweets a day while you're busting your rear end actually covering the news. And like, for the first time in a long time, there actually is news. So would you do me the honor of telling me what the heck's going on with the Washington Capitals, maybe starting with the thing at the bottom of the screen, which is training camp?
Sure. So training camp is going to start on Monday, January 4th, and there's going to be a taxi squad. Do you know what a taxi squad is, Peter?
It's like AHL boys that can come and go with some level of like clemency.
Kind of. So like, they're going to have 4 to 6 guys on a taxi squad that are going to be on AHL contracts. So it's not going to count against the cap, but you literally have them with the team. And if there's like a COVID outbreak, or you need to move somebody around, or there's an injury, because, you know, this is going to be a crazy season with a weird off season of training, which is, you know, there's likely going to be a lot of injuries. I think that's the worst thing that's likely going to happen this year and next. You can basically pull from that taxi squad without having to quarantine guys, because what their worry was that they wanted to quarantine guys if you bring them in, but then how's that going to work if you fly them across the country or even across state? You know what I mean? It could take down an entire team if one guy has COVID. So that taxi squad was created, and it's going to be really interesting because the Capitals might have Connor McMichael on there. The OHL season, they're trying to start up, I think, in February. And who knows if that's actually going to happen. So they might want to bury some prospects on the taxi squad team. They might want to put a few top tier AHL guys. They're going to have a third goalie there. That's kind of required. So that's going to be going into training camp and going to the regular season, that's actually going to be a really interesting strategic thing that teams try to do. And there's going to be a ton of guys that are going to be on waivers before the start of the season. So I think that's also one of the reasons why Brian McClellan's probably pushing, you know, the top tier, you know, every dollar out of the salary cap going into this year. So one of the things that happened the other day, the Caps signed Zdeno Chara to a 1-year $795,000 deal. Yeah.
So you have to go way slower than that. So with the AHL thing, So these guys are Hershey boys, and they're going to get paid their AHL contract, not counting against the cap. And then I guess if they get activated, then they get paid their NHL wages.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So they're going to be traveling.
I don't know if I love the idea of that.
They're going to be traveling with the team the whole time?
I believe so, yes.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's wild. I'm really excited to see Henrik Lundqvist, though, play for the Capitals this year.
Oh, there was a development there, Peter. Henrik Lundqvist revealed that he had a heart condition and that he's going to have open heart surgery very soon. So he won't play for the Capitals next year.
As one does. So open heart surgery because he had... This is the heart condition that the team sort of like... I guess like they knew about when they signed him, but then it turned out to be worse than they had feared. And they said, no, screw that. You're not participating. You're actually going to get an operation on your aortic, whatever.
Yeah, I think that's a healthy reading into it. You know, a lot of people want to look into like malfeasance with the Rangers.
With the buyout?
With the fact that, well, a lot of people have complained about that in the comments, like, well, the Rangers knew about that and they're trying to screw the Capitals, which I don't really understand that at all. I think maybe it was a fresh point of view from the Capitals doctors when they look into it. Apparently it was a heart issue that Lundqvist had had his whole career and he was managing, which I take managing to mean was probably on medication for. But again, I don't want to speculate. And then when he came to Washington, they took a deeper look and found the issues and things had gotten worse. And, the danger to him playing was high and they all agreed to take care of it. So, and in a weird way, it's a positive. You know, imagine if something would have happened and they didn't find this, that would have been just awful. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I hear that.
Like, he's one of the greatest ambassadors of the game of all time, you know? Like, man, the first interview with that guy, you know, I've heard him talk, but he is just, he's so emotionally open, too, for a hockey player, you know? Like, he's not a guy that's going to say, get pucks deep. He's going to tell you deeply how he felt about them getting the pucks deep, you know? It really touched my soul how much Martin Ferravari tried to dig the puck out, and I love him. You know, that's how he talks, so.
Yeah, like Brooks-like, but with empathy.
Yeah. That's a good. I like that.
So that sucks. And I'm sure that they got another blue chip, really good goalie to maybe fill in.
Craig Anderson,
who is about as old as Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah, and about 10 times as worse. 10 times worse,
that's,
I would say.
And that's not true. He was really good for all 48 games of the 2013 season. Or I'm sorry, he was like an all-star level player in 2013 for the Sens when they had that like PDO rush playoff run all the way to like the conference finals. But that was, you know, a shortened season, which just like furthers everything everyone says about goalies being like, do you really trust small samples with these guys? You have a very large sample. You have like a 6.5 year sample of Craig Anderson being not awesome, but that's a PTO, right? That's a playoff. A tryout agreement.
Yeah, professional tryout agreement. I didn't really get that one. Like, that's the one that left me scratching my head the most because I just don't like. I don't know. Lundqvist is one thing. Craig Anderson is really old and hasn't been good. So I guess they're just trying to create competition and maybe see where everyone's at, and maybe that's. Yeah. Another part of this that there's another piece of like, you know, chess that we maybe aren't thinking about all the time too, is that there's going to be an expansion draft in July and for the Seattle Kraken. So how many of these decisions are going to be considering that? Like, I think Martin Ferravari is a top six, top four guy in the Capitals, but there's no way he's playing on the team this year with all the guys they signed. So,
Every time you say something, there's like 7 things to say about it. So
I know.
Like, you and I think the world of Martin Ferravari. I don't know if Brian does. I'm going to call him Brian from now on, just to make it seem like we're close pals.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to put Brian in quotes here. The tryout for Anderson, like, I guess it's like to like, hopefully unsettle Samsonov and Vitacek? Vanacek?
Vanacek.
I pasted his face into a picture of the guy in the banana suit once. That's how I remember it. So Vanacek and Samsonov are like Anderson's in there to be like, if you suck, we're gonna pay this old guy.
Yeah, I think so. You have Phoenix Copley too, who was a really good backup to Holtby in 2018-19.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ilya makes sense, jumped ahead of him last year. You know, part of me thinks that they would go with Samsonov and Copley and then put Vitek on the taxi squad and then have Vitek be the backup next year. But during McClellan's interview with the press a week or two ago, he was pretty straightforward that, yeah, it's going to be Vanacek. We want to see him play NHL games. And this is kind of where we were going anyways. So,
did I do the opening theme song?
No.
Okay, here we go. And then it keeps going, and then we start the podcast. So,
yeah.
That's weird. So is Samsonov healthy after his ATV accident?
Yes, he's been practicing since I believe it was November 6th with the team, like doing their optional skates.
And you're naming
good to go.
You're naming dates as if that's a meaningful measurement of time these days. I don't know when that was. That feels like that was at least 6 months ago, or earlier today.
I have a horrible memory of words and names, so I want you to think about how much writing I've done to call that. and then feel sorry for me. but I think he's been a full participant, and he's been he sounds good to go. And he's gonna get the bulk of the time this year, unless he gets injured, which he's kind of injury prone. So we'll see how that goes.
I'm so disappointed that we were never like, I really wanted there to be like a resolution to us like arguing about like how much ice time, how many games Lundqvist would get. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, I know.
Because we were like, is he actually going to play? Or is he going to play every game? Is he the one? Is he the 1A, 1B? I don't know. Well, there's no answer to that. And I don't know. It's such a weird way to go out. Hey, I forgot Justin Schultz was on the team. That just totally went out of my memory. And then somebody goes and tells me that Connor Sheary.
Yeah.
Former Crosby point siphon is a Washington Capital. Now that's wild.
Brian McClellan is just running 200 miles per hour towards the Penguins trash. I don't know why, but I shouldn't call them trash, but like they're tidy leftovers. I don't know.
Sheary's an interesting player. So I really wish I had time to get into this. So like, of any of like the frustrations that the Caps that we expected the Caps to have entering last season, it was that they wouldn't have the finishing skill, you know, losing like Connolly and then like eventually losing like Burakovsky and then putting in a guy like Richard Panik, who's like a, you know, a solid player, but he doesn't have the finish. Right. And so like, the question is like, who is making the plays and who's finishing them? And Sheary is a good finisher of plays if he's got the right support around him. Like, he could make like a third line dangerous again, or depending on, you know, how they run those things, just to add some threat. Because that's what he did with Crosby. And obviously no one, you know, short of like Kuznetsov on his like best day, is going to be on like a Crosby level of playmaking right now. But on the Capitals roster. But like, I think Sheary's a valuable player. And I'm kind of excited to see that. I think that's a really smart pickup. And the kind of thing that, like, I understand why they did it, because it addresses, like, an explicit need, like, maybe, like, a shortcoming that the team had. Whereas, you know, the defenseman that they signed out of free agency that we'll talk about in a moment really doesn't really fit a need other than, hey, can we have some wild fun with the big dude to... Let's talk about Zdeno Chara, unless you have a thought about Sheary.
No, not really. Like you said, he is a bit of an analytics darling from what I've seen, but I don't understand it yet. And it'll be interesting to see how he fits in possibly on the third line. I don't know. I think they thought Beck Malenstein was going to be on the team, and when he sliced his Achilles, there was another guy out just like Kempney. So yeah, let's go to Z though.
Z. I'll just say I don't think that of Sheary as an analytics darling necessarily. I think of him as like a finisher and people who like a lot of times like the analytics darlings are the people that like don't get points but do get, you know, like that are good at like moving the puck. And then like all of a sudden they like get buried. So like when Johansson was with the Capitals, for example, like I would consider him to be like an analytics darling. Because he's like extremely useful in like tactical situations and makes things better, but doesn't necessarily like scoop up points. I think Sheary was sort of the opposite, where he's like he can't get there on his own. He's a little bit like Kuznetsov in that respect. Like I hope he doesn't get paired with Kuznetsov. Like Kuznetsov just isn't like your puck carrier, but man, he can do some dynamic stuff low on the ice. All right, so Zdeno Chara out of nowhere. First of all, since when does Ken Campbell break the biggest offseason signing of December? What on earth? did you were you like super sus that Ken Campbell isn't like a verified Twitter account? Everyone's like, why are 200,000 people following this person?
Okay. Like when Elliot says something, I'm like, oh, that's real. When I saw that tweet from Ken Campbell, I was like, I don't know about that. Why would the Capitals sign him? They already got 20 defensemen. But I wrote it. I went with it. Ken, I believed in you, mostly because I wanted the page views, right or wrong. But that was the most surprising part. That Ken Campbell broke the news, not that Zdeno Chara signed with the Capitals.
Nonsense. Okay, Libby, open question. Answer this however you want. Why?
You know. I think when they lost Lundqvist, they had $1.5 million spend. You know, it's kind of like me at a jersey store. You know, if you got $1.5 million, let's go out and buy the Coyotes reverse retro jersey.
Burning a hole in your pocket, you might as well, right?
Yeah. You know, we got $1.5 million. You know, this season's going to be crazy pans. Depth is probably going to be one of the most important things of the year. You know, everybody just feels terrible because of COVID. You know, when you have a veteran guy in the room like Chara or Lundqvist, it just, you know, I think there's kind of like a thing where you don't want to upset daddy. I don't know. Daddy sounds crazy or weird, but that's kind of how I look at it, is that I think it was just another motivational point. And I think, you know, we've seen Chara play against the Capitals, and even in his deteriorated state, he is still just a guy that eats pucks. And imagine putting him out in the PK and just eating shots, you know, blocking everything. That doesn't require a lot of great skating ability when you're 200 feet tall. So,
all right, counterpoint.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Washington Capitals are old and somewhat slow. For example, they got danced around by the Carolina Hurricanes.
And Islanders.
What does this do to help that? Do you know what I mean? Nothing. Like,
makes it worse.
Yeah. Well, so like when I think about like just like the Connor Sheary signing, I'm like, oh, I get that. That makes a lot of sense. But this one doesn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, Well, I love Zdeno Chara. Like, I mean, for 10 years now, he's been a Boston institution for a decade. He was.
Yeah.
Fearsome for like 8 of those 10 years. He was the single biggest non-Tim Thomas contributor to their 2013 Cup, 2012, whenever they won the Cup. Maybe it was 2011. Whatever year they won the Cup, he was the biggest contributor to it. That wasn't the goalie. I think it's fair to say like Thomas stole that Cup mostly. He's a brilliant guy. Like he like as much as he's like what 6'9", he's actually like a very smart and articulate fellow, and he's wonderful to listen to speak. And, you know, he's one of those notorious for like being a charitable guy. I still am completely baffled about what he does on the ice. And it seems like, I don't know. It's just like one more thing to like, make sure that like Martin Ferravari doesn't get any ice time in this season, which I guess is maybe what you're trying to get at.
Yeah. I think it's a depth thing. They do not want to play Farivari. And it's not because he's bad. It's because he's really good, and they don't want to expose him to the expansion draft. I really think that there's a lot of calculus going on.
That's some big brain stuff. If that's their move, that is like, so we have to name this theory of yours. Like the Hyde Martin theory, or I don't know. But think about this, because this is something we're going to have to track over the course of the season. Is like, Mark Farivari, oh, that guy's trash, wink, wink. Like, hide him from Seattle, whatever you can do. But that's, I could see it. It just seems like it's galaxy brain in a Venus-sized brain universe.
Yeah, there's really no reason why they needed to sign Zdeno. I mean, in a way, he might make you worse, maybe. Maybe, I don't know. But again, when you're looking at it from an expansion draft depth point of view, it makes sense. You know, well, we could lose six guys to COVID. You know, who else is going to slice their Achilles?
Kempe's probably not going to play, right?
Yeah, he's out. He's definitely out for the year.
But I don't think it's been like formally announced. We just like know it.
No, you mean like for the entire season? He's out 6 to 8 months, and his injury would put him at like July at 6 months. So I mean, if they make a deep run, I don't think they would bring him back then, though.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah,
coming off of that, that would just be devastating.
And the teams, I guess we'll learn pretty quick what Laviolette, who, by the way, something I need to remind myself of every couple weeks, he's the head coach of the Washington Capitals now.
Totally forgot about that too.
We don't really know what he makes of Nick Jensen yet, who's like favor had risen and fallen over the last year.
Yeah,
I can see going both ways, but he's not the like chip in offense, you know, defender that Laviolette has like historically liked in Nashville.
A lot of people are really excited about this season, and I am not going to say that the Capitals can't go in and win the Stanley Cup this year. Like, I hear you, and it could happen totally. Like, they have enough talent that they can do it. But a big part of me is like, I don't know if this is going to be good, because you're playing the East. All these teams bedevil the Capitals. You know, even if they can beat the Penguins 7 out of 8 times, the Penguins always give them, you know, a shot. You know what I mean? Like, the Penguins are always a tough game to play. These are going to be tough games. Philly, the Islanders, like the Islanders, you know, they could definitely probably make the next step this year. And I'm not discounting the Devils yet, and I'm a crazy person.
You just did a definitely maybe take the next step. I think the Flyers are going to get better, but there's also weird stuff happening. Like, every team has made some weird signings. Like,
I would
step back a little bit. Like, as much as like Chara isn't 2015 Chara anymore, he's still like better than like the, I don't know, Jack Johnson's of the world. Not that Jack Johnson's playing anywhere right now, but did Jack Johnson sign somewhere?
Yeah.
California? Like LA or something like that? The Ducks?
It was funny.
Dude, and that's happening everywhere. Like, Corey Perry's with like the Canadians or something.
Yeah, Corey Perry just signed
with the Joe Thornton is a Maple Leaf. Like, nothing makes any sense. I mean, I really like the Joe Thornton to the Leafs thing.
Yeah.
Looking around like the league. Go ahead.
I don't think I really think the most logical thing that would happen this year is the Capitals would miss the playoffs. Because if you think about it, they kind of doubled down on old and slow, and you're just like, you know, it's a tough division. The teams that they're playing are going to be fast and skilled. It could go the total other way too. But like, if they struggle with if you think about it, Barry Trotz and Todd Reirden kind of had the same system. So Laviolette's going to be doing something totally different and way more aggressive. Okay. And they're slow. And if your defensemen are being super aggressive and you can't really recover from that, that could create a lot of problems as you're getting used to the new system. And every time I've seen this team adapt a new system or try to do one really quick, it takes like a year or two. And so like, in my head, I think by the end of the year, they'll be playing really good hockey. If they make the playoffs, they'll probably be banging on the door pretty hard there to go deep. But I'm just not sold they'll get there. And then they're going to be another year older next year. And, you know, this Laviolette signing could look really bad really fast, even though he might be doing the things that they need to be successful in the playoffs. It just may not be the right roster for it. We'll see, though. I could be completely wrong on that. I hope so.
I hope that Laviolette sort of surprises us with how he runs it. One thing that I'm kind of excited about is, like, I wonder if Laviolette can give a sufficient amount of structure to, like, a defenseman from whom you expect offense, John Carlson, but maybe also from one we don't really expect offense from, Dmitry Orlov. Like, obviously, like, I asked the other day, like, is there any reason we should worry about Dmitry Orlov? And you're like, nope, which is good. I didn't know what to panic about, and I need your direction to make sure that my anxieties are focused in a productive way. But
sure.
I would love to see Dmitry Orlov have a good, you know, like, a offensive season, maybe take a step that he hasn't yet taken in his career, because I think he's a pretty excellent defensive defenseman. And I'd love to see how the Laviolette signing, you know, helps him out. I think that could be interesting.
You know, following Orlov's career arc as long as I have, he was, he was a good defender in the KHL and in the MHL, which is the minor league system for the KHL. But he was a guy that was creating offense. I mean, he was like a leading scorer on his team. And it seems like he kind of took the trajectory that Calle Johansson took when he was playing. This is a weird callback for me. This shows my age. But like, Calle didn't score a ton of points. He would chip in 5 to 10 goals every year. But then there was one year where he scored, like, I think it was 16 to 20 out of nowhere. But it made sense because it was all those things that he was doing before. But it just seemed like, you know, there's a certain amount of confidence that you need to have to be able to really be aggressive offensively as a defenseman in the NHL the way it is right now, with how much speed there is. And I really think that he could take the next step. I mean, I just think he has so much more confidence now than he did like 5 years ago. You know what I mean? I really think he's been coached up well. And I think there was a lot of timidness from him.
That's a good point. Yeah. I'm excited to see where that goes. And, I think if there's ever like an opportunity for like a player to take the next step, I think it's Orlov. I don't think anyone else needs to like hear me like ring the Kuznetsov bell anymore. Like, everyone knows my take on like being worried about Kuznetsov's play. So I'll just put a pause on that. But that'll be interesting, like, thing to see what changes under Laviolette. What else am I missing?
He was asked about that too. Laviolette was asked about like how he's going to coach Kuznetsov, and he didn't really have an answer. And it wasn't negative. It was just like, he hasn't, that's the other weird thing about this year, which is also why I'm really hesitant to get excited about this team, is that, you know, Laviolette's like, I've just been calling guys. I haven't really talked to anybody yet. And you're just like, oh God, there's a 10 day training camp. First game is a regular season game and new system. That just gives me the heebie-jeebies for the first couple months. You know what I mean? And the first couple months is the entire regular season.
I thought you were going in a different direction. I thought you were going to talk about Peter Laviolette as a generator of quotes.
Oh God. What was the joke I made in Crashers the other day? I was saying, like if someone asks him, like, he's a guy that doesn't answer. Yeah, he doesn't really answer questions. And it's not because I think he's just been drilled into by PR people for so long that it's just it's completely wacky. But like, it's like if someone were to ask, where is the cheese factory? And his response would be, well, cheese is very important to eat every day. And the way to make cheese is to pour milk and then get a little moldy, and then the bacteria sets in. And then it just goes on and on about cheese creation. And you're just like, Peter, where is the cheese factory? It's a one sentence answer, and you're talking about other stuff that everyone already knows about. You know what I mean? And it's just like, he goes on and on and on with just, it's nothing. It's just like he's saying nothing.
I want to take just a quick detour into your brain. Why did you choose Cheese Factory there?
Okay, because I'm doing the total 30 diet, or it's not a diet, it's just to see what you're allergic to.
Yeah,
can't have cheese, so I'm always thinking about cheese. All right, that's what I'm a big cheese guy, but you can see that a lot of the cheese has left my own face.
Yeah, so. You do look great, man. I'm really proud of you for that.
Thank you.
When everyone made this joke, but when Zdeno Chara was talking about considering whether he's going to retire or not, Would you just provide for me the quote that he used?
He said he had a lot of gas left.
And I was like, oh, that's an unfortunate quote. Eileen is cooking chili right now. And then like 50 people made the same joke. And I was like, damn it, Zdeno. Way to rob us. Anyway, that's just another thing that he's great about.
I'll even say at age 36, flatulent jokes will work for me. You know what I mean?
What if 2021 is the year RMB gets old? Like that. What if this is the year that we're just like, because I was trying to find, it's too long for me to say. I'm trying to update the title while we're talking. Old. I was looking for like the best stuff I did this year. And the way I do that is I search Twitter for things that people tell us. They just say like, delete this. And that's how I know it's good. And one of them was, I was saying that, like, I was making a joke that I don't know what the word simping means. And I was like, oh, the Caps were hella sipping on that penalty kill. And everyone's like, that doesn't work at all. You're so old. In 2021, we'll just calcify that. It's going to be.
Ben called me sus in Crashers, and I had to ask Ashley, who's a teacher, what that meant.
Do her kids all know sus? Do they all play Among Us?
They actually have an educational game like that is like Among Us, which I think is the game for the kids out there. I was like, why is Ben calling me sus? Like, I was like, what is he talking about? What did I do? And then it was like, oh, he's making a really stupid joke like he always does, and he still loves me. Thank God. No, like the Capitals memes on Twitter, I get a little angry. I'm like, this is stupid. But then like 30 young people like respond like, this is the greatest Twitter. You should get a raise, social media person. I'm like, what? So yeah, I think I might be old now.
They've passed us. Once rappers started rapping exclusively about being sad, that's when I realized that like I was out of touch. Like at some point, like rapping went from like rapping about food that rhymes with things like MF Doom would do, or the five pillars of Islam like Jurassic 5 would do, when they went from that to rapping about, and then like the mainstream like Jay-Z stuff, but then all of a sudden they're rapping about like being on benzodiazepine, and I'm like, that's different for me. Like that's a change that I wasn't ready for. It's like rapping Zemo now, just saying that is passe because that's like 5 years old now. So yeah, we're old, and I've got gray hair, and let's see how that plays out with our social media profile.
Yeah, I have gray hair here, and a touchdown here.
You can't see it; it just looks shiny to me.
Yeah, well, that's because I shave it like every week. Thank God. But I actually like it. Ashley says it gives me character and makes me look smart when I'm not. So I appreciated that.
I was saying as soon as I started going gray, Eileen and I went to a concert. It was a Not a Surf concert, and Matthew Cause from Not a Surf comes out, and he went gray a few years ago, and he's got the silver fox thing going on. I'm like, I could pull that off. Give me a couple years. So I'm really hoping that I mean, I'm not even that young, too young to be going gray anymore, but like, I want to be like early gray George Clooney style. Yeah, that's
very distinguished.
While we're talking about shallow aesthetics, I love the hood is looking great behind you. Your mise en place is really good. Or I guess it's mise en scene, whatever.
Looks. So out with the old, in with the new, I guess. I don't know, but like, I'm just redoing everything. I don't, 2020 sucked. You know, a lot of great things. I did a lot of great things and I'm proud of myself that I survived, but I'm done with how things were looking and we're doing new stuff. And like, you know what? I actually have a funny story for you. So last night we went to Lowe's because I have, okay. So over this way, there is a bedroom. We have like four bedrooms in the townhouse and it's so tiny. We're like, well, this is kind of useless. No one's going to ever sleep here. Wait, so
that's the other side. I thought that side's the outside.
Yeah, well, outside, there is another bedroom right over there. And we're like, no one's using this, and there's just stuff in here. And so we're like, well, why don't we do something productive with it? So during quarantine and while we were this year, one of the ways that I was staying in shape and being aggressive about keeping my mental health somewhat healthy was me and my family were going on hikes and going visiting waterfalls across the area, just beautiful overlooks and just doing things that we've wanted to do and just haven't done it. And so one of the trips that we went was up near New York and Delaware to get these adjustable weights where you can basically have like up to 60 pounds on a dumbbell, but it can adjust all the way down to like 5.
Yeah, I know
that. And so we got that. Yeah, we got that. We got a bench bar, and we're turning the bedroom into a weight room, which I've been using over the last 2 months or so now. And I have gotten a lot of access stuff just from doing the site and being a very eager collector, I guess would be a good way to put it. So last night we went to Lowe's to get shelves, but we were like, we don't want to get like 6 foot, 2 6-foot shelves and do it 2x2. We're going to go the full 12 feet. And we tried driving home with those, and I just want to tell you, it was a disaster. Ashley had Dunkin's coffee. It spilled on the first turn all over the car. Then they were kind of like bending, and it hit like Ethan's car seat, and then like one of his toys flew out the car. And then because we were worried that Ethan would notice that stupid toy was missing out of the car, we did a U-ey. Then I walked out in the road to get the toy. And then, all right, then we're on our way back home again. And then I couldn't see the beams. I was following behind her, and I couldn't actually see the beams anymore because it was so dark in the country. So then we were going up and down a hill, and I was like, oh my God, it's going to fall out. And it was it was the most anxiety raising thing, but we got it in the house. And we're going to put those up this weekend, but it's just like,
awesome.
That's been one of my projects. We're going to have a system for things I have. And I don't know, that was a long rambling story about my life that no one cares about.
I like that your like 2020 project was, and by the way, no one, like if you're like watching and listening, please don't feel like you needed to have like a project or like an accomplishment in 2020, like making it to here, you did good.
But absolutely,
I like that yours was like, I'm gonna be a healthy boy this year. Like for me, it was like, I'm gonna start baking. So I like, so I at some point Eileen and I got really into the Great British Bake Off, and now I'm into like making Genoese and rough puff pastries and like my
I've watched the show too. It's amazing. It's very entertaining,
and it's like not, it's all positive vibes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like something bad happens every once in a while, and maybe like somebody like have like a bad day. One time somebody's like finger almost came off, and like it was tons of blood. There's a whole season that they added to Netflix, and like the warning comes up at the top, and it's like, you're about to watch the most gentle Great British Bake Off show. Warning, gore and violence. I'm like, I doubt it. And I make it like to like the second to last episode, and a dude's finger and like just blood just cascading down his arm. And he's like, I'm going to keep cooking. And like, no, you're not. You're about to pass out. You don't know this, but you're going into shock right now. Anyway, he won. That's not a spoiler alert.
I do want to say about 2020 is that my attitude is that I almost feel like I never have enough time to do the things I want to do and even take care of myself. Like, mentally, like, you know how hard I work and how much I think we need to cover, which is probably not realistic, but you know, I don't know what happened to me, but I'm so optimistic. And I was just like, you know, what are the things that I can do with this new time? And I should be open to everything, period. And I remember when Ashley was asking me about Total 30, it was for her because she was trying to figure out what her food allergies were. And she had no faith that I could do it. And she wouldn't even ask if I wanted to do it with her. But I was like, how are you going to, like, you really want to make, like, two different dinners when you're cooking for me? And, you know, like, do you really want me to be bringing back food that you can't eat? And I was like, I'll do it with you. And she was like, really? And, you know, And then I just went through that journey and it was awesome. And like, you know, I think it's also been, you know, like she likes traveling, but then she never wants to actually travel or leave. Like she's a little bit of a hermit and gets anxiety about trips and going anywhere. And so like what she worked through mentally to get to that point where she would just be like, all right, we're going to go to Shenandoah this weekend and take a 15-mile hike and just do it and have the confidence that we could do it. That was like the best thing. Like we both had a lot of personal growth and, you know, I just hope we can get through it with everyone in our family safe. You know, and that's, but I, you know, I've just looked at it as a, you know, I try to look at everything as like a blessing. You know, I'm still here.
Does that
try to figure out things in a better way?
Does that mean though, that in 2021, when we throw a Russian machine party, you're going to show up on time?
No. Oh, I'm still late to hockey every Sunday. No.
Are you really? Do you always show up late?
I do show up late, and they hate me for it. And they're all like regimented people. Like, there's a police officer that plays with us, and he's like, "You wouldn't make it one day on the force." And I'm like, "Well, yeah."
Can confirm, officer.
I'm creative. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me on that. I just focus on things so much. I don't really think about time. Like when I was a kid and I was doing art projects, I mean, I would draw. And I'd think 2 hours went by and it'd be like 3 a.m. Yeah. Like I'd start at 6. That was the type of person I am. So it's really hard to manage that type of intensive thought.
That's not a terrible thing to do though. So like if you're a person that gets into like the flow of things and like this is something that I've recognized a lot. It's like I've been working from home more. Like, I don't know. It feels really good to like get into like a zone where you're just like working on something. And that applies to like cooking, baking,
I live for it.
Cleaning, like exercise for me. Like sometimes it's like writing or working on music. Like those are things where I can just like get into the zone and do nothing but it for a while. Like last few weeks I've been doing like software testing as like we were running up to like a big release and like it was a big change. But like, you know, all of like our clients are on holiday already. Right. And so we're like, well, that's like, I had fewer meetings and I was like, I'm spending 6 hours a day. Like doing like this task and it's repetitive and, but it's still hard. I felt gratified by it. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's just knowing when to come up for air again, I guess is the problem.
Yeah. I struggle with managing that a lot and I'm lucky that I'm able to do this right now. And, you know, it's always been like hockey is like, I'll just take too long of a shower cause I'm thinking, or I'll be watching Puppy Dog Pals with Ethan and I'll get so into the show. I'll be like, oh, F, it's 8:35. I should have left 10 minutes ago. You know what I mean? That's just who I am as a person is I really get engrossed in this stuff. Engrossed, whatever.
It's definitely not engrossed. I'll tell you that. That was a wonderful aside about like health and mental health life. In 2020. Anything else? What about hockey? What did we miss? What have we gotten to? I know Ovechkin hasn't signed his deal yet.
Yeah, another part of this is like they're signing guys left and right. How are they going to re-sign Ovechkin? Like, are they assuming that he's going to get less money because he doesn't deserve less money? So, like, I don't understand how that's going to work unless they think TJ Oshie is going to be drafted in the expansion draft. You know what I mean? Like,
he will. Or maybe they just. He will for sure. And what about if they may just be banking on like compliance buyouts and
or just trading somebody if they have to. Maybe it's that. You know what I mean?
They would do it. They would make the team like substantially worse to keep Ovechkin. And like we're not going to complain about it. Like we get it. Like it sucks. Like in that way, but. Everyone just sort of understands that this is something that we're sort of like compelled to do. I did the we as the hockey team, but it's something that the hockey team is compelled to do. And, but like, I guess I keep coming back to like the financials. Like, so when Gary Bettman was doing like the PR tour to talk about how like the players need to on their own insist on a renegotiation of the CBA that they like crammed in before they like, resumed play last spring, or I guess at that point it was summer, which like because of like the cash flow problems, basically like is like ruinous to the owners in the short term. And because it's ultimately a 50-50 share of the hockey related revenue, like the player, that bill will come due to the players eventually. Like, but Bettman was like, I don't know, clearly asking for a renegotiation without actually doing it, because it would have been, you know, illegal to, or in breach of their contract to like ask for renegotiation. It really seems to me like there are substantial economic health problems in hockey right now, and you'll agree with half of this, or you won't agree with the other half. The logos on helmets is clearly an attempt to juice revenue that they probably would have done eventually at some point, but they definitely did now because they need to increase the size of the pie with like not having fans in stadiums, unless you're the Florida Panthers and are okay with having 2.25 super spreader events per home game. Whereas, and then like, I think that the retro jerseys were pushed out at the time they were. I know they were like delayed a little while, but I think they came up because the league desperately needed to have some cash flow. And I think that we don't necessarily know what the economic health of all of these clubs are. Everyone for the last, I don't know, 20 years has, in like the financial world, says that as much as like sports teams are like a, you know, prestige purchase, they're also these like incredibly valuable, consistently, you know, increasing in their value and their estimation. They're good buys. And yet you see the, you know, Pittsburgh Penguins taking the PPP money earlier this year, which is scandalous in its own right, in my opinion. And you have a handful of teams. I'm sure it's like Coyotes. I'm sure it's probably with Florida to some extent. Maybe Eugene Melnyk up in Ottawa being like hesitant about actually playing this season. I think all that, I don't think that talk amounted to anything. And I imagine that like the 31 governors and owners and Bettman probably closed ranks pretty well to make sure that like any teams that were going to be bleeding out a little bit, might even be the Pagulas, might even be Buffalo. Those teams were maybe probably covered by the richer teams, specifically your Boston's and your New York's and your Toronto's and your Montreal's. They may have to do a little bit more like aggressive profit sharing to prop up those teams, which is something that's very familiar to Gary Bettman. I mean, his whole project of the late 90s, early 2000s was like the expansion in the Sun Belt, in which those teams have, in most cases, never really been profitable teams and have at some point been wholly owned by the NHL in the case of the Coyotes for a while. Now the Coyotes are in arrears for years because of their mismanagement of what, like the Combine or whatever. I don't know. It seems like there's some really nasty stuff happening with the economic health of the team, of the league.
Yeah.
And it may come back to bite everyone. And I wouldn't be surprised if McClellan and the Caps as an organization are willing to see, let's see how this shakes out before we actually commit, you know, $12 million a year for however many years to Alex Ovechkin. I'm just guessing about the 12.
Oh, no. Yeah. I think there's a few things about that. I agree with you that in some ways I get why they're playing, but I also don't get it. It's like they're going to make money, but I don't know how much they're going to lose. I'm not good enough to really speak about this well, but like if you're playing without fans and you depend that much on gate money, you know, there's just so much else that the other things are going to make up for. And the other thing is that why are the Capitals signing such long-term deals when you know that the salary cap isn't going to go up for at least 4 years, probably. And then you're going to have to probably pay Ovechkin a pay raise. I like, to me, that seems like if I were Ovi, I wouldn't sign without a pay raise. You know what I mean? Unless there's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge thing going on, which he shouldn't do anyways. And he's a really smart businessman, so he wouldn't do that. I wouldn't expect it. So, I don't know. So on the reverse retro jersey stuff, by the way.
Looks good.
Missed the screaming eagle so much. I think that was more about a promotion plan. So like for me, from my point of view is they should be releasing new jerseys every year, period, every team. Like from a business side, from a marketing, you know, brand side, like you shouldn't be like what the Capitals were doing is basically having one or two jerseys for, you know, I guess three if you count the old word mark with the stars for like 10, 15 years. I mean, So I think what was happening there was that Adidas was setting up a thing where they were going to have some kind of push every year, and then the coronavirus happened, and they were going to do new jerseys every year, like every calendar year. And so I know that the Capitals 2 jerseys, that they have a new one coming out next week that's going to look like their old wearing classic jersey from, I think, 2015. That's we believe is navy blue, but they've had those jerseys for a year or two. So
does that mean another?
That's why we were able to report it.
The 2015, like, is that like the caps lowercase word mark ones again?
That's going to be a big W, is what we've been told, and navy blue, and
I like the blue.
Yeah, me too. I think they should do more blue. Whatever they end up doing, I'm sure the details will be amazing. It'll be a simple jersey, but I think the details will make it awesome. But so the jersey stuff, I think, is good, because I think they do need to do stuff like that. But yeah, I do think it does help them juice the money. But now, from helping them make more revenue, it's just helping them stay steady or just get up that mountain a little bit more. I think the other thing is, like, a lot of people are like, well, they're intentionally making not a ton of jerseys. The stuff I was told from Fanatics was that, you know, it's just hard to make that many jerseys during a pandemic.
Yeah.
So that's also why there's been a little bit of a shortage. But yeah, this year will be really interesting. And I agree with you. Signing Ovi to a 4-year, 5-year deal with huge money, I mean, there's definite risk with that. But I think the NHL is banking on the new TV contract coming in next year. That's going to help them get out of this. And I think they're going to, you know, from what I've heard, is that they might have a 2-channel type of deal next season, but we'll see. I've just heard kind of rumors about it, where it might be like NBC and then another channel will get a few games here and there too. So
if I can, like, interject, like, I think that's a big part of it. Like, I think a lot of what they're trying to do is to keep up appearances, to say, hey, we are a big 4 sport, even though it's 1, 2, 3 and then a million miles of junk and then hockey. I think they're saying, like, hey, we can't let the NBA come back without us. Like, we need to be back in this too, just so they can say, hey, worldwide leader in sports, maybe you should pay us to have some of our games up. Like, so they just, like, pretend everything's normal. And, like, that is itself, you know, like a confidence scheme to get people to you know, continue investing in your league.
So this is a little inside baseball with us, but I think it applies to the NHL too. Is there's also something called promotional momentum, where if you're doing something every day, you stay in that person's mind. You're fresh in that person's mind, and there's a passion level that remains. If you don't do things every day and there's a big absence, that passion level goes down. There's a passion gap. And I think if they would have canceled the season, you're starting from scratch again next year. So, like, even if you're losing, what, you know, I'm just throwing this number out there. Let's say, like, $1 billion or, you know, $100 million, whatever it is. If you lose $100 million this year, your calculus isn't this year. It's, well, how is that going to impact me 2 through 5? Then on a TV deal, is this going to hurt me on a TV deal? So you take the short-term pain, and I think that's why they wanted to talk to the players. It was not about necessarily redoing the deal per se. It was just redoing how they defer money, because they're going to be paying an S load of player salary this year. And it's actually going to hurt the players probably, or it's going to be weird for the players long-term. I think there was a Russian language interview with Ovi. He's only going to make like $2 or $3 million this year. It's nuts.
Oh no. So just like everything you ever say, it brings up like 7 points I want to discuss.
Yeah. Sorry.
Let's start with promotional momentum, or as I call it, promo momo. Where, what are you reading where you're getting this stuff? I just want to know where are you reading Adbusters? What is this?
I don't know. It's just I don't know if that's a technical term, but it's,
I love,
like,
it.
There is. It's like if your eyes are not in front of somebody, they will find something else. And That is something that I've learned at conferences and stuff like that, is that, you know, people know what our brand name is, but they'll forget us, you know, in a month, and, you know, read capschirps.com. I don't know. I'm just making up blog names. Maybe that isn't a fake one, but, like, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's just a thing that I've learned about, which is kind of dumb, I guess.
you sang Promo Momo, made everything else you said washed out of my brain entirely. So you were talking about Alex Ovechkin only making $2 million. That was interesting. We were talking about like the TV deal. There was something else you said that was really good, and if I were taking notes like a good broadcaster, yeah, I would have come back to that. But my brain just got stuck on Promo Momo, and now it's just it's the only thing I can think of.
Well, when you're like, why are you writing about Maria Kirilenko giving Ovi a cat to hold a cat like 8 years ago in like August 12th, when nothing's happening?
The answer is because it's August 12th. There's a shifting threshold of what's newsworthy from like yeah, game days to August 12th in 2013. I think we should wrap this dude up. We should wrap this entire year up.
Yeah, let's do it. Throw it in the trash.
better stuff ahead. I'm gonna just hit stop on this and publish on this, and then I'm gonna put on Between Blue Lines, Between Two Blue Lines, and that'll be how I'm finishing the night there. I was hoping that you would, I don't know, have like a facial expression or reaction to Between Two Blue Lines. Give some people some inside juice or something, but you didn't take the bait. I think they're super charming, by the way.
I feel like if anyone listens to this podcast, they might get mad at me if I said the joke I wanted to say.
Can I,
just answer your emails, okay? Just answer your emails, all right?
Do I have emails about this? when we were talking about Among Us earlier, I had a really long day a couple like Fridays ago, and I like worked till like 7 o'clock. And as soon as I finished, I got like a notification that like Julie and Amy and the Pucker Up folks were playing Among Us. I was like, yeah, I'll jump in on that. So I get in there and I'm like, I'll play Among Us, sure. And I played 4 rounds and I got murdered first or second in all 4 of them. And I'm like, that's it for me, friends. And like one of them, like Danya was like, Peter, I was trying to protect you. And like, you turned around and then I got murked by people that I don't even know well. And so, yeah.
It's just awesome the community they've built within themselves and how passionate they are about everything. It's those kids are all right.
As those kids, as much as like
the
blog era is dead, I still think that like the like internet based like community of like hockey fans and Caps fans is still really strong. So things change. I wish Google Reader or non-Google Reader were still around, because I think that was an inflection point in the health of like, you know, non corporatized blog world. But stuff's not too bad right now either. There's too many podcasts, and I sit around the house way too much to listen to podcasts these days. So, like, I don't have.
Yeah, I know. And once I actually start doing streaming, like that's gonna be so fun. But that's also gonna just be. I don't understand how any of you have time to listen to me talk. Nope. And I don't know why you do.
So like I'm looking at my screen here, and like it should be 8 hours a day, but it ends up being 12 recently. This is like my like work screen, but then right here is my fun screen. And I'll just put up Nerdlingers playing video games over there.
Really?
Oh yeah. So I right now I've got like broadcast stuff over here. I'm actually like looking at you over here, although you're also over here, so I can look at here, and it doesn't matter. But here I've got like my like music computer and then like entertainment stuff. And then my keyboard. So sometimes I'll be on if I'm like not having a great time on like a call, I'll just be like da, 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 da. Like I'll just play, I can play keyboards as long as I'm muted. No one knows. And then like the worst case scenario is I've got my guitars back here, and like I can play guitar and just like stop playing and unmute and say, yeah, that sounds excellent. Thank you so much. Will you just follow up me over email about that? And like that's not unprofessional as long as the camera's off. Or maybe I could just crop the camera so it's also no one in the health IT industry has like SM7Bs, so they like sound like boomy into their microphone. So like if I ever want to, I can. Anyway, you're gonna have such a good time you're gonna have so much fun getting into the streaming world. My idea
I know.
If I was in an industry where I would have gotten like canned last year, I was like, okay, so I'll just try to like do like Russian Machine full time. And I was like, you know what I'll do? I'm gonna kill two birds with one stone. I'm gonna get an exercise bike. By the way, I had one, gave it to Pat. Pat never used it. And I need it back. And I don't have enough room for one here. But if I get in a different place, I would get back on the exercise bike and stream 45 minutes talking about hockey every day. Because that's way better than like I was like binge watching West Wing when I last time I was, or no, it was Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I would just do like a 45-minute stream. Hey, you guys want to do the exercise bike with me? Or you and I could do it. Obviously, you're doing weights, but like I so not like the Overwatch guys, they do like workout streams. Like dude's doing like
really
his sets. And then he's like, all right, I'm ripped. Now it's time to play video games where I'm, you know, a small Japanese girl with a robot. That's the game I play.
You know what? I just want you to know two things. One is that I secretly recorded myself the other night just playing.
Good.
And I listened back to it and I was like, uh-oh.
No, you're
like,
fine.
This might be the end of Russian Machine. Because the amount of cursing I do, and sometimes I say some really not nice things to people that are computer players, I'm just like, no, that's not gonna go.
You know what? I didn't even think about that. So my entire like,
I get so ramped up when I get so engrossed into things that I just completely forget the world around me, and so like I just get. You know, even if I score, but you know, F you, you know, goalie, and I'll be like, oh, I can't say that.
You probably you can. Know, it's I'm, fine. I, mean, if I do. I probably can't. It'll be stream only. But
yeah.
So there's.
I'm laughing after injuries that I caused of digital players. I mean, people will probably enjoy that, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to put that out there.
There are two Ians. One Ian.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So there's the Ian that I like interact with, and like. But like I remember, Colin Holter and I were talking, and I was like, "Yeah, I do stuff with Ian." He's like, "Oh, sometimes he gets mad," and I was like, "Not really."
Oh, yeah.
But then you say stuff like,
"Nothing to see here."
Like, well, I did get suspended from basketball.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And I'm like, "Who is this like ultimate warrior version of Ian that is a rage hound?" Because I don't know if this is a good idea after all.
The brilliance here, there is a lot of passion and like I said, lost in what I'm doing. And so like I remember there was when I was in middle school, I didn't make the eighth grade varsity basketball team at Boundary Creek Middle School, and whoever cut me in the last day of cuts, I do not forgive you. So I went to like the lower level pay to play Monocacy League. And I was crushing everybody. I was like a power forward on the middle school team, but I was the point guard.
You were Tom Wilson. You were Tom Wilson on the Plymouth Whalers.
I was the Magic Johnson of this Monocacy basketball league. So like we go to the championship game, we're undefeated, and you know, I'm still kind of PO'd about getting cut like 4 months before. I am not over it. I'm not. I don't get over things like that. And we were down one. I'll go for a layup. Some guy just clocked me in the face, and I still almost hit the layup. It went boom, boom, and then it's bounced out. And I fell to the floor, and then it go, and we had lost. And I was like laying there looking at the official. He's like, doesn't count. And I was like, what the F? And you know, I'm like, what, 12, 13? I'm like, what the F? And I just went up to him and I just started screaming at him because I was letting out my getting cut and also losing that championship game, which it was a foul and I should have gone to the free throw line. But it was just stuff like that where all of it came out. I buried it and it was all coming out. And so I remember what got me in trouble and lost me TV privileges for like 2 months was I cursed the guy out, and then he was like, what did you say? And okay, so when they do that, always just change what you said to something nicer. But I did not do that. I said it even worse than what I said before. And the guy just walked right over to my dad. And my dad was like, what the what? And that was, but you know, yeah, I'm very intense, and I've worked on it. I think you've noticed I've worked on it.
Yeah, so. Indeed.
So we're getting there. But yeah, that's part of my brilliance and part of my not greatness too. So
why don't you, for our viewers and our listeners, why don't you wish them a happy new year, and we'll turn this thing off.
Sure. So, like always, I always say thank you. I'll leave on a positive, is that this year could have been the end of the site or the end of how we were doing it. And I don't say that in jest, but you guys came 20,000, 25,000 people a day when nothing was happening. And you kept checking the site and you got us through this year. And we can still do this. And I had a personally pretty good year because of that. And I just want to thank all of you for your passion. I will try to repay it when there's 11 months of effing hockey next year, that my passion level will continue with yours. And I think Peter will jump back in when there's games and can handle it. And we'll look to see what we can do. But thank you for letting this be my job. And I hope 2021 is better and we're all vaccinated by the summer or fall. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. So. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll see you in 2021. Love you very much.
Bye.
Oh, that was excellent.
This has been Russian Machine Never Breaks, the podcast. But now it's over. Nothing to see here. Move along.